We're going to continue our series here on the Holy Good Ghost. This is part three. We're talking about sonship. That's just kept coming out of my spirit the last several sessions, and I kind of want to look at that a little bit more today. We kind of touched on it last week a little bit. I think as a child of God, you know, we need to understand that about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's very important that we tap into that because He brings power, and a lot of times that's what we equate with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, you know. So the Holy Spirit has that aspect of Him. But I've been kind of majoring on the intimacy part because that's what I want us to really experience first off, because if we don't, then we get into trouble, because if you want the power, you first need the intimacy to be intimate with God. And when we receive Him, we need to believe that He has received us. And that sometimes can be the deal breaker in our walk with God. Because, you know, we pray and we ask God to come into our life, but yet sometimes there's that nagging doubt in the back of our mind that maybe we just don't fit in, or maybe we're just not good enough. And see, that's why the Holy Spirit... One of the reasons He has come is to help us to experience the Father's love. And we have to really get that right. See, I hope you found this out, that when other people are running out of your life, God is running in. And we need that. We need to know that God is running in when everybody else is leaving us, that we can always count on Him to be in our corner. And that comes, you know, through, you know, the intimacy that we receive through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Good Ghost, right? Okay, so Romans 8, 12 to 16 is where we're going to look at today, a couple other passages also, but it says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God." Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your Word and the power that's on the Word of God to be able to transform and change us. Lord, we thank You the seed of the Word of God goes in our hearts, and then it explodes and it starts to bring life. Lord, we just release that anointing right now upon this place to be able to transform and to change. Lord, I yield to the gift You give me. I use it for Your glory, and I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we see being led by the Spirit. You know, led by the Spirit. And see, the proof of sonship is to be led by the Spirit. Now, a lot of people become a Christian and they really don't have a working knowledge of what the Holy Spirit's ministry is here. They just kind of function. They go through life, and, you know, maybe they go through, there used to be three services and punt, you know, and they just go through life. But see, God has so much more. He has so much more for you and I that we need to learn how to tap into that and to be able to see it. So the proof of the sonship that we are related to Father God by the born-again experience is the idea then is that we have that witness inside of us and that we're led by the Spirit of God. Now, you know, it says here that if you live by your flesh, your old nature, it says you'll die. You know, how many glad that just ain't literal, you know? I mean, it's talking about kind of a different kind of thing, a spiritual thing, but, you know, that would kind of knock the snot right out of you, wouldn't it? People start dropping like flies because they're not living out of their spirit, they're living by the flesh. See, our flesh is trying to lead us from God while the Holy Spirit is trying to wanting it to lead us to God. See, the old nature in our life, that old nature that, you know, that we live the crucified life, but every now and then it tries to resurrect itself, that old life. You know, it tries to lead us away from God. It'll make you so, you know, doesn't want you to pray. It doesn't want you to read the Word of God. And it doesn't want you to go to church to get built up, you know, by other believers. You know, and we live in a day where people are not attending church as frequently as they used to. used to be, you know, when we started this church, you know, very seldom, you know, did some people miss. And now for some, it's very seldom if they come. Ouch, right? You know, church doesn't save you, but church is one of the implements that God uses in our life to iron sharpen iron, and we build each other up, and we have fellowship with each other, and we help to make each other strong.
Amen.
And we need that. And God has put an anointing on certain people to help to train us, and there's part of that. You know, so we ought to be, you know, kind of wanting to flow with that, because I believe, you know, I'm not saying Jesus is coming tomorrow, but I'm just saying it looks like he's coming a little quicker than he did a couple years ago. You know what I'm saying? You know, just the things that are going on. You know, I just can't believe it. You know, just the things that, you know, 20 years ago, and, you know, I was being as a Christian and I was reading that stuff, and I don't know how that's going to happen. It's happening. It's just happening. You know, things are coming together, and, you know, people are have stuck their heads in the sand, and, you know, and just allowed so many things. And, you know, we know what the last days are going to be like, and, you know, there is a lot of that stuff going on right now. But if Jesus doesn't come in my lifetime, that's okay. I'll still go to be with him. I'm happy about that. You know, I fear not death. You know, I don't go play out in the road, but, you know, but I don't, you know, if it's time to go, it's time to go. And that's how we got to live our life. But see, we need to live like we have no obligation to the flesh or the old life. See, for me, when I was in the world, I did the world. You know, I did it full blast. You know, 100 mile an hour. And in everything that the world had to offer, I left it. I left it. And I came to Christ. So why would I want to go back there? If there wasn't enough there then, there's surely not enough there now. You know what I mean? So I encourage you, just keep on heading on. You know, maybe Christianity is a little harder than you thought sometimes. Well, welcome to the war. You know, there's a battle going on here. And it's between light and darkness, and we're the light. You know, God is living through us. It's only natural that the enemy's taking a couple shots at us every now and then. You know, I'd be more worried if he wasn't shooting at me. Amen?
Right.
You know, if the devil ain't shooting at you every now and then, you know, you might want to, you know, check your targets, you know, what you're going after. But anyway, see, Satan will try to get us to doubt. Remember, he tempted Jesus. He says, if you are the Son of God, right? If you are the Son of God. And he tried to tempt him to get him to, you know, do some things there. But Jesus, you know, put him in his place with the Word of God. And, you know, that's what you and I need to do. We need to use the Word and get that Word in us. Because when we live out of our flesh, we're more susceptible to the devil's deception. You know, if we get too busy, you know, if we get too busy to pray, have you ever been too busy to pray? When we get too busy to pray, we're too busy. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you get that feeling that overwhelms you, that you got the stress and all this stuff going on in the world, well, we know that we stepped away from the center of God's will in our life, and now we're playing out in the flesh area. And that just be a sign. It's not that, you know, you're not going to, you know, make it maybe, but I just say get back over on the road. You know what I'm saying? I've always said I used to spend a lot of time in the ditches back in the day. You know, it's better being on the road. It's not as bumpy. Have you ever, you know, maybe, you know, some roads in Monroe County, they're a little bumpy, but you know, the idea that, you know, I've driven in the ditches and that those aren't smooth. So we need to get back in the center because we don't want to fall prey to the devil's deception. And what happens is that, you know, Satan's going to lie to you. He's going to make you feel that people don't care for you. Maybe somebody at church today didn't shake your hand and now you're mad. Or somebody did shake your hand and now you're mad. You know what I'm saying? Now with the COVID deals, all everybody's, you know, everybody's got their deal. You know what I'm saying? You know? I mean, you got to understand, you know, we just can't let all those little trivial things get into our head. Because that's, you know, when the devil, we let the devil in our mind, it's just a playground in there, and he gets us off base and causes us to look at things wrong. So that's why we need to, you know, increase our spiritual sensitivity. You know, be more sensitive to the things of the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's going to lead us to that center. I guarantee you, he will. If we allow him, if we start to maybe get a little more quiet in our spirit, you know what I mean? A lot of times we're so chaotic, so many things going on in our life and all this stuff. And, you know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, when we start living out of our soul and we get that chaos stuff going, it's hard to hear from God. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's hard. You know, when your emotions and all these things get in, just like sometimes the last person who you need to ask if yourself is if this is the right person you should marry, you need to ask maybe one of your friends who's not emotionally involved in that situation. You know, because them emotions will try to lead you astray and it'll get you into deception. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit, He will lead us through something in order to get to something. And this is the part of the walk of God that sometimes we don't like, but it's part of it. You know, sometimes as we go through life, you know, we're going to have to, what I feel it does, when the Holy Spirit leads me to the wilderness, like, you know, He did Jesus, and sometimes we go in them wilderness things, is that it's kind of trying to get us to sort out our priorities, you know what I mean? Some things in our life that God wants to deal with us on. And, you know, once we go through those things and we start to let go of those things, and then God will get us to the thing, you know, that we need to be to. But see, it's all part of us being willing to follow. The children of Israel, you know, like we know in the Old Testament, you know, God led them out of Egypt, miraculously parted the Red Sea, praise God. Wouldn't that, you know, if somebody parted the Red Sea for you, wouldn't you follow that guy anywhere? I mean, I would. I mean, you know, I wasn't the smartest kid in my class, but I was smart enough to know that. I mean, there must be something to this guy. Well, then they got out in the desert, and first thing you know, they're mad about the water because they ain't got the water they want. And anyway, so God had a deal on where that whenever the Holy Spirit stayed, the cloud would stay or the fire, they had to wait. Well, then He picked up and moved. They moved, so they had to learn to follow God. And see, that's kind of what we need to do. If you're in the same place right now, that may be okay. Don't think you're missing God, but just seek God. You know, the safest prayer you can ever pray is, God, if I'm missing You, help me not to miss You. You'd be surprised how much that works. I use that all the time. God, if I'm missing anything in my life, I give You free will. I want You to show me where I'm missing it. I want You to reveal to me what I should be doing if I'm not doing it right now. And, you know, you start to do that, and then before you know it, you know, things start to, you know, start to flow together, and you start to get into a place, and, you know, and then you start to see, you know, the Holy Spirit really starting to move in your life, you know, seeing some amazing things. And that's awesome. And an example, you know, Paul, he was a radical. I admire him as one of the people in the New Testament who really went after it with God. I mean, he was just, you know, just going after it. Well, he was out there and he was on a mission trip and, you know, he had it in his heart, I want to go to Asia. He wanted to preach the gospel over there. You know what happened? The Holy Spirit forbid him to go to Asia. Just boom. He said, I want you to go to Macedonia. And then he had a vision for that. See, he could have said, no, I heard from God. I'm going to Asia. But no. See, always be open to course correction by the Holy Spirit. It's okay. You know, I don't know about you. I'm just now in the last few years getting used to the GPS stuff in the car. Before, I never would trust it. You know, that how can them people know what they're talking about? You know, they're not even around here, you know. Who knows where we're at, you know? How can they know where my car is all the time? Welcome to the government, right? But, you know, every now and then I have a tendency to miss my turn. Recalculating. That's okay, right? You may take a couple turns, but you got to get back to where you got to be. And see, if we feel God leading this way and we're going along that way, and then all of a sudden after we go in that way a while, we feel Him wanting to move us, then, you know, we need to be open to that movement to allow the Holy Spirit to get us where we need to be. And we know that when Paul followed that, you know, we know that Lydia's heart was opened up the continent. Churches were built, just amazing things happened. So you never know what will happen when you follow the Spirit, okay? So always be open to correction. Now, I want to go into the spirit of adoption. Spirit of adoption. And this is talking about the idea of sonship versus orphan spirit. And I alluded to this last week a little bit. I wanted to double back on some of that because I really feel it started to connect with some people. And I really feel it's important that we get this part solidified in our heart. So the Bible says here, he said, Abba, Father. Now, some people believe that means daddy. You know, it could be. There's people argue about that online about what that means. I just get a kick out of them. But anyway, you know, the idea of, you know, what it means to be able to call your Heavenly Father more of an intimate name. Now, when you first start out with Christianity, he's this God, right? Primarily. He's God. And I still call him God. I don't know if it's easier because I get all three of them at once at that time. You know what I mean? Trinity? I'm on this joke there anyway. But, you know, the idea of needing that intimacy with God and what that means to you. Now, a lot of our earthly fathers, they're not big on intimacy, are they? Some of them aren't. I mean, within reason. You know, not big huggers, not big, you know, snugglers, you know, things like that. And so then we kind of grow up and our father just seems like, you know, maybe he keeps us at arm's length. And then we become a Christian. We think, well, God, the father don't have much time for me because my dad worked all the time and he's always busy doing something that he doesn't really have time for me. So then we go into that relationship with God and we sort of miss out on what it means to have that closeness. Now I want to review a little bit about the orphan spirit. And maybe you weren't here last week, but this is kind of, you know, Jesus said that he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, because he didn't want you to be as an orphan. You know, God doesn't want any Christian to feel like they're an orphan. Now, an orphan, you know, is somebody that, you know, maybe feels like they've been abandoned by their parents. You know, and God bless, you know, sometimes, you know, we as parents can give that feeling to our children. You know what I mean? You know, because maybe we weren't there for them in the way that we should have been because we maybe had stuff going on. But an orphan has that sense of abandonment. They feel alone or isolated. And you could be in this room today and you feel like you have an orphan spirit. You feel isolated. You maybe don't feel close to God. You maybe don't feel close to other people. You feel just keep them at arm's length. And, you know, what that is that's a lie from the devil. Because, you know, God the Father, when he sent God the Son and then sent God the Spirit, the three are one, right? Well, the God the Spirit comes to live inside of you, and the Bible says that you're never alone again. Never alone. Think about that for a minute. Now, we've all been lonely before, haven't we? I mean, I've been lonely. Not homely, come on now. But that feeling that comes in, that isolation, you know, is something that the enemy tries to bring in to make you think that God doesn't care for you, doesn't have time for you. And so what happens then is that orphan spirit operates out of insecurity and jealousy. That insecurity that we have, and we don't feel that we can, you know, fit in. We don't feel like we're as good as other people. And we've all probably had that feeling before where you walked in the room and you maybe felt like you was the least worthy person there. I don't know if you have. I have before, probably. You know, you go in there and, you know, but little do you know, you're just as good as anybody else. See, once you met Jesus Christ, you have no, there's no more to go. There is no more. He's the top. Once you have God living inside of you, there's nothing out there. You can't go any higher than that. You have relationship with the Creator of the heavens and earth. Amen. And he's come to live in your life. Thank you. And you can stand before kings and queens and just be just as good as anybody else. Because that's who we are as a Christian. But if you have that orphan spirit, you walk in there and you just feel like you're insecure, you're not good enough. That these people are looking down on you. You know? Maybe, you know, you get your clothes at a garage sale. That's all good. Some of my best buys are at a garage sale. You know what I'm saying? You know, I like it when I can, you know, shall we say, you know, thumb the system, you know, not have to pay retail. Retail's for Gentiles. You know what I'm saying? That's what I believe. But anyway, I digress. So, feeling that, excuse me, a little sinus drain here, but I'm fighting through. Then also, the orphan spirit feels like it always has to prove something. And like I said, I think last week, some of the most successful people have the orphan spirit because they're always out there fighting and clawing. Well, everybody else got their feet set up, you know, kind of chilling. You know, they're still clawing and clamming and doing that. Orphan spirit also feels like they always have to earn love, and especially that love from the Father. And that's what we don't need to have to do. And the orphan spirit operates by a works righteousness mentality. So, this orphan spirit always feels like it's on the outside looking in instead of the inside looking out. Now, it can affect us, you know, in a lot of different ways. I know when I first got saved, you know, there was some unraveling, you know, in my life. I mean, maybe you've experienced that too, but there were some things in my life, some strongholds that have been set up, and how I looked at life and how I perceived myself and interacted with other people. And then when I come to Christ, and it was a totally different environment, it was just like it was all new to me. And, you know, some things that I would say. I remember one of the counselors in Bible school, we had to go to a counseling once or twice a year for a spiritual checkup, I guess. And we was in there, and they said I said something that I don't remember even saying. But when they told me I said it, it just, boom, chains were falling. How many chains are we in today? How many chains have we allowed the devil to keep attached to our life that is holding us back from what God has for our life? I mean, we can easily just say, well, I go to church, I do this, but I'll tell you what, people, we have to get into the Word, and we have to get in there and allow God to have His way. Pray that prayer. You know, David prayed it. David was a man after God's own heart, but David had some boo-boos he made in life, didn't he? Search me and know my heart. You know, pray that prayer that God gets in there and He starts to move. Now, so one thing about sonship, that as we go over into that away from the orphan spirit, a son has a different vantage point than an orphan. A son has a different vantage point. See, the view always looks different depending on where you're standing. Stand on this side of Calvary. Amen? You know, we need to see it from this side of Calvary, what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, and the idea. And with sonship, you know, we get identity. You know, we were once nobody, and now we're somebody, and now we're the people of God. That's what it says, I believe, in one of the Peters. It talks about we're the people of God. See, before we come to Christ, we're nobody. We may be the president of the United States. We may be, you know, something big, something that, but we're really nobody without Christ. Unless we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, the creator of the heavens and earth, because the Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess Him. So until we come to that conclusion in our life, we're nothing. Nothing. Apostle Paul said everything that he did in life, he counted as rubbish compared to coming to know Christ. And only those who know Christ know what I'm talking about. Amen? So ask God to reveal Himself to you and surrender your life to Him. Next is position. You know, our status has changed. You know, we're no longer a sinner, but a saint. You know, maybe you never considered yourself a saint. The Bible calls you that. I think the Greek word's hagios. We're holy ones. That's who. When Paul wrote many of his letters, he called people, his converts, the holy ones. You know, a lot of people think you have to do a miracle or two and all this before you become a saint. But God, this is what God says. God says, if you're in my family, you're a saint. You're a holy one. And as we come to that realization, we start to see our position where God has put us. We're seated with Him, and now we're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know, we're called to rule and reign with Him. And which brings us to the next point, is the idea of relationship. You know, we now have that intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. See, when we receive a spiritual connection with our Heavenly Father, it releases destiny in our life, and that's what we need to see, that you are here for a reason. God has a destiny for you. God has something that He wants you to do that nobody else can do, and He put you on this planet just for that reason. And only when we come into relationship with God will that destiny be released. And then we start to follow that plan. Then we start to see things happen. Then we start to accomplish things for the kingdom of God. You know, we're in the kingdom of God, and we rule and reign with him and the position he has for us and the things that he's called us to do. You know, if you look back, you know, in your old life, I mean, it's nothing compared to the things of Christ. I never would have thought he would have me doing the things that I'm doing today. And I wouldn't have done it if he'd have told me everything from the start. You know, it would have been maybe too much. But God says one step at a time. One step at a time is all we got to do. People, keep taking one more step. Amen. One more step closer to God. Know that God has a plan for you and that destiny he's called you to do. You know, don't settle for what you have now. I believe there's more. I can't think of anybody that I know right now has finished their race. None of us. You know, a lot of people quit because they get tired. I mean, now Jason's a jogger. I'm not. You know, I would probably quit before I got around the next corner, but around the next corner is where I need to be. Amen. Don't give up. Keep running. Amen. Amen? Amen? Keep getting there where God has you. God has something special, and we need to get it. So sonship gives us that confidence that it's okay to fail. Do you have that confidence today? You know, a lot of people are raised maybe around strict parents that it was, if you made a mistake, you got chewed. Has anybody ever had that happen in their life? Get yelled at if you made a mistake? You know? Has any parent ever done that? Right? We all have for some reason. You know? And, you know, but sonship, when we have that intimate relationship with our Father, that we know that it's okay to fail, because if we fail, he's not going to turn on us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to kick us to the curb. And see, that's the kind of relationship we need with God. God knows that we have this old nature that we're dealing with. God knows that we have attitude sometimes. Anybody out there got some attitude? You know, come on. We all have those things. He doesn't kick us to the curb. He doesn't give up on us. He wants us to keep going. So we need to stop thinking just perfection that will get us with the audience with God. So the Holy Spirit, what he'll do is he'll lead us to this closeness that you and I have been talking about here. And that's called the spirit of adoption. Now, without going into this too radical, many people look at adoption backwards. They focus on the one who rejected them instead of on the one who accepted them. And see, maybe you've been rejected. Take your eyes off the rejection, put it on the acceptance. Put it on the one who wants you. Amen? That's what God is. We're adopted into his family. And there's a lot about adoption in the Bible, and we're not going to go into it but too much here, but under Roman adoption, and this is where Paul was starting to preach this in the Old Testament, the Jews didn't really have this concept. You know, I probably think it's probably because in the Jewish life, each tribe was given a certain set of land, and it would probably jeopardize their land if this adoption stuff went the way this was. But here's how the Romans did it. Under Roman adoption, the adopted son lost all his rights in his old family and gained new rights in his new family. The old life was wiped out, including all its debts, so nothing was counted against him anymore. Okay, that's what it's like for us as a Christian. Everything's been wiped away. All that old stuff we don't have anymore, and we've been placed in this new, it's called placement. We've been placed into this body. And see, what it says here, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, you know, that we're a child of God. So that's what sets Christianity away apart from, you know, all the religions, all the other religions. They see the spirit stuff as a force or a power only, but we see the spirit as a person. And see, it's that person of the Holy Spirit is what comes into us, and then it makes us feel like it. You know, we can't go by feelings, but you know, have you ever felt like you're part of God's family? Hope you feel that today, but the Holy Spirit's what does that. That feeling, I mean, you know what that's like, where you feel accepted by somebody. You know, when I was up here this morning and worshiped that first song, and, you know, I've been here praying a while, and oh my, the Holy Spirit just fell. I didn't want to stop. But it would have looked weird to you guys, you know. I could have kept going. I could have just stood there. But see, that I had a feeling. The Holy Spirit was moving on me, and I just felt so close to God. And those are things we want to run to, not run away from. You know? And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to get us to, because it's going to bring some comfort and credibility, you know, in our walk with God. So that the Holy Spirit bears witness, and we have that witness that rings true. And now that's why we follow Him. And it's through the person of the Holy Spirit that we have that connection with God. Okay? Now, He testifies. Now, I want to jump into another passage here, and I want to wrap this up. This is something I shared with you a long time ago, but God gave me this revelation just a few years after I got saved. John 13:3. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He had come forth from God and was going back to God. Okay, these are things that you and I need to know. Now, we know Jesus is God, so let's give Him that. But He emptied Himself as a divine authority, come down, was baptized with the same Spirit that we have in our life. But this is, Jesus knew who He was. And these are three things that you and I need to get down in our life, and the Holy Spirit will help us do that. See, Jesus walked in full revelation of who He was. No doubts. Number one, He knew where He came from. That's important. Now, I'm talking our come froms come from God. How we step into that relationship Him when we're born again. Number two, Jesus knew where He's going. And number three, Jesus knew His authority. So if we know where we come from our Heavenly Father, we know where we're going, that we're going back to Him in heaven someday, and we know the authority He's given us, that He's called us, the church, to walk in authority here until He's made His enemies His footstool. You know, we're not to be just a bunch of lollygaggers down here, just waiting, having a bunch of potlucks and all this stuff, and waiting, you know, for Jesus to come. Are we? No. We have authority. Yes. We need to use that authority. We need to stand strong in the power of His might. We need to release that authority in the world to come against the darkness and the things that try to come in. See, the Holy Spirit is going to bring you and I into full revelation of who we are in Christ. Okay, I'm going to close with this last passage. I couldn't fit this in anywhere else, and I think it's something that just needs to be out there. Hebrews 12:7-8. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there when his father does not discipline? If you are without discipline, of which all have been partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Okay. How many love to be disciplined? One person. Cool. Anybody else? Come on. Well, this is part of the walk of the Holy Spirit, is that He's going to lead us to places where we start to shed our load. The Father disciplines. Now, just like you say, you know, if we're not being disciplined in some way, shape, or form through our walk with God, then there's a problem. You know, if God's not convicting us, and now when discipline, He's not going to beat you with a rod. You know, those days, those good old days. You know, he's going to make us deal with some stuff, you know, and He's going to reveal to it that, hey, that's a bad attitude, dude. You know, you don't have to have that attitude. But see, we just think that, you know, God's a God of love. But I believe that we can love people to hell. I believe that. If all we tell is the side of the coin that God is love, and which He is, and I do not deny that, because, you know, God loves you just as you are, but he also loves you enough not to leave you that way. Just like a parent, you know, got a little baby, oh, they're so cute, you just love them. Ooh. But how many know those little babies are sinners? They're going to show you one of these days how big a sinner they are. Now, if you're going to let them keep going, is that okay? Is that okay that they throw a knockdown, drag-out fit, you know, to get what they want? Is that cute? Maybe the first time. But after that, it gets a little old, don't it? No, you're going to discipline that baby. Why? Because you love that baby. You want them to grow up. You want them to be mature. You want them to be good when you're not around, right? It's one thing if they're only good when you're around because they know that you're disciplined, but you want them to do that. See, so that's what, you know, part of the walk of the Holy Spirit is that Holy Spirit, if I'm doing it wrong, if I'm saying it wrong, if I'm, you know, not where you need me to be, you know, bring correction in my life. You know, Jonah made that crazy prayer. Maybe you prayed this prayer. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You ever prayed that prayer? Well, I have. Well, Jonah prayed that prayer. Then God said, I want you to go talk to Nineveh. And he hated Nineveh. He hated those people. So then Jonah went the other way. But see, he had to honor his prayer. So God ended up getting him thrown overboard in the belly of fish. After 3 days, he repented. Then he got spit out on the ground. Then he had to walk to Nineveh to go preach that prayer. And they repented. And they ended up, judgment didn't fall. See, God cares about people. And he cares that you and I keep our word. And I want you to pray that prayer. God, I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want that. But be ready. Hang on. It's going to be a good ride, though. I'll be honest. There's no place better than the center of God's will. And that's what the Holy Spirit's going to bring us to. Amen? Let's close.